Welcome. We're so glad you're with us this morning.
You have found Sunday worship at St. Luke's in Woodland, and today we are trying a whole bunch of new things. We have a new camera, we have a real live lector in the house with us today, we have a new morning prayer liturgy, we have a real live acolyte who rang the bells for this morning, and you can't see her because she is safely in another room, not breathing our air. But it's a good thing we are the people who believe in unseen things and trust in them. Our whole new liturgical season is starting today with that very same theme of trusting in that which we do not yet see. It starts a brand new church year, beginning every year with Advent. We will follow this morning's service with a coffee hour on Zoom, which follows immediately on this service. And you may actually be able to, in the future, watch the service with other members of the congregation through that same Zoom link. We think it's even possible that some of our Godly Clay community may be watching us on that Zoom link right now, having finished their Godly Clay session a little while ago. So, it's good to be here on this morning of liturgical adventure and new things, and the start of a new church year, and again, we are so glad you're with us. Now is the time of the color purple. Purple is the color of kings and queens. In those days, only royal people could wear the color purple. Roman citizens could wear a little stripe of purple, but that was all. A king is coming, but not the kind of king people thought was coming. This king had no riches, had no army, didn't even have a great house. This king is a baby born in a barn. The king who was coming is still coming, and this is full of mystery. A mystery can be hard to enter into sometimes. Sometimes it's easy to walk right through a mystery and not even know it's there. You see that at this time of year, maybe a little less this year than usual, but we see people bustling in the malls, doing this and doing that, hurrying here and hurrying there, buying things.
And they'll miss the mystery. Maybe because they don't know how to get ready, or maybe because they just forgot. So a long time ago, the church set aside time for people to get ready to enter the mystery of Christmas. Because Christmas is such a great mystery, it takes time to get ready to enter it. 4 weeks is the time church set aside to get ready for the mystery of Christmas. During this time, we are all on a journey. So, let's go. With the prophets and the Holy Family and the angels and the shepherds and the magi and all the rest on the journey that was not just back then, it's also now. On the first Sunday of Advent, we remember the prophets. Prophets are people who know what is most important. Prophets tell us what's most important too. The prophets knew that something important was about to happen in Bethlehem. They didn't know what it was going to be, but they knew Bethlehem was the place. So they pointed the way, showing us the way too. So let's go. Let's stop, watch, and pay attention because something important is about to happen in Bethlehem.
Thank you.
you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. O God, let our mouth proclaim your praise. Praise to the holy and undivided Trinity, one God, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Our God and Savior now draws near. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise to the Lord a shout with psalms. For you are a great God. You are great above all gods. In your hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are yours also. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hand. Oh, that today we would hearken to your voice. Let us listen today to God's voice. Harden not your hearts as your forebears did in the wilderness at Meribah and on that day at Massah when they tempted me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works. 40 years long I detested that generation and said, "This people are wayward in their hearts. They do not know my ways." So I swore in my wrath, "They shall not enter into my rest." Please pray with me the psalm on page 5 of your service leaflet. I will pray the first half of the verse up to the asterisk, and I'll leave it to you to say the second half of the verse after the asterisk. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts,
how long will you be angry despite the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears.
You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors. Restore us, O God of hosts.
Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand. And so we will never turn away from you. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Praise to the holy and undivided Trinity, one God, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Our God and Savior now draws near.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and your iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember our iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people.
Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice, rejoice with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may drink deeply with delight from her comforting breast. For thus says our God, I will extend peace to her like a river, the wealth of nations like an overflowing stream. You shall nurse and be carried on her arm, and you shall nestle in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. You shall flourish like the grass of the fields.
A reading from the first letter of the Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Jesus Christ. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and in knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless. So on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Canticle B is on page 8 in your service leaflet, and we will say it all together. Before I ventured forth,
even while I was very young, I
sought wisdom openly in my prayer. In the four courts of the temple, I asked for her, and I will seek her to the end. From first blossom to early fruit, she has been the delight of my heart. My foot has kept firmly to the true path. Diligently from my youth have I pursued her. I inclined my ear a little and received her. I found for myself much wisdom and became adept in her. To the one who gives me wisdom will I give glory. For I have resolved to live according to her way. From the beginning I gained courage from her, therefore I will not be forsaken. In my inmost being I have been stirred to seek her, therefore I have gained a good possession. As my reward, the Almighty has given me the gift of language, and with it will I offer praise to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." In the name of the one, holy, and undivided Trinity, amen. Okay. Morning of First is gonna include a morning of glitches. Sorry about that. There's some little adjustments to be made here. Let's see what we can do about this. Something like that. And we have this card, which I'll put over here. You can admire later. Always we have to begin again. We begin again and again, and always in Advent, we begin at the end, with the apocalypse, the eschaton, the second coming, the new creation. Every church year starts with God's new creation, our hope of it, an end of suffering, and the beloved all gathered, heaven and earth at one. Every year, we start with this cosmic prophecy of the second coming of the Christ, and in doing so, we begin again with the end, which is actually a new creation, a new beginning. The light of the world is going to come in this new beginning, and it's going to come out of the darkness. So when we begin by facing into the darkness. We face into the darkness of this time knowing that we will never see the light if we avert our eyes from the shadows. We face the darkness of this season when the light wanes until finally we come almost to Christmas. We also face the shadows in our souls and we confess them. And we also face the shadiness in our culture, our lust for power, our brutality, the hunger, the sickness, the prideful shallowness and selfishness, aimlessness, materialism, racism, violence, despair, and so much fear. We face into this darkness because to enter into Advent is first to face the suffering of the world. Prophecy always starts with tears. Prophecy comes before God's promise to break in and change everything. Only God can make a way through the cosmic divide that is separating heaven from earth. Isaiah asks God to do this in this morning's first reading. Isaiah asks God to come and do this for all of us, for God's people. And it does happen. It happens at Jesus' baptism when the people hear the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And it happens again in Jesus' crucifixion when, just as Jesus said would happen in today's gospel, the sun goes dark at noon, and it stays dark in the middle of the day for hours on end. And the curtain that separates the Ark of the Covenant from the people who work in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. So God has crossed the chasm between heaven and earth and continues to be active in history. But when that happened, it wasn't the end. It's not where this journey is bound to go. The day when God's light shines everywhere all the time is where we're headed. We'll get a foretaste of that at Christmas. But that won't be the end either. It's just a foretaste. In the coming year, we'll be exploring Mark, a gospel so short it doesn't even include the baby Jesus. It starts with Jesus' baptism, and it has two endings. Today's text comes near the ending, the endings. Today's text, we read at the very beginning of the church year, because this is where Jesus is teaching the disciples how to wait. And that's a lesson we still need to learn. The disciples want to know exactly when the Christ will return. They want to know the time and hour of the second coming. They want it to be like when figs ripen. I can check the farmer's almanac and get a pretty good estimate of when the figs are going to be ready for harvest. But this watching and waiting for the new creation, for God to restore God's plan on earth, well, that's unpredictable. There's no way of knowing how long it takes. All we can do, all the disciples could do, is watch and wait and pay attention and stay ready. Keeping watch isn't easy to do. It gets boring, and either you forget what you're doing it for since you're bored, or you start to imagine things that aren't really there. Distractions are infinite. We have no power when we keep watch except our power to witness. It's so much easier to just do something, isn't it? It's so much easier to stave off our anxiety if only we can keep busy. But that's not our assignment at this time. Our assignment at this time is to be still and watch and wait. It's hard whether we're sitting vigil at a deathbed. It's hard when we're laboring in childbirth. This is why they always send the other people at the scene of a childbirth off to boil water. It's not clear what the boiling water is for, but it gets the people who need to be busy out of the way and keeps them from interfering with what needs to be done. It is hard to be still and wait and trust in God when we're enduring a frightening political season. It's hard to wait through a ministry leadership transition. It is hard to wait through a plague. It is hard to be powerless to do anything but witness. And yet, that is what we are called to do. How long, O Lord, how long? It's not for us to know. The seasons of a fig tree are well charted, but not this process, not this process of God's breaking into the world to restore all things. Jesus talks about right practice. Lots of people think Christianity is about a certain set of beliefs, a certain set of, what did C.S. Lewis say? 12 difficult things to believe before breakfast, something like that. It's not just a set of beliefs, although there are some beliefs. It's much more a willingness to wait. It's much more a willingness to live with unanswered questions, to tolerate the unknowing. Of all the practices that shape us, maybe the hardest is the stillness and the silence of waiting and trusting that God will break through. But that's what we do in Advent. During this time of watching for the light to come in the church year and in the world, I commend to you a little book called Always We Begin Again. The author adapts the rule of Saint Benedict to fit a 21st century life. And he says that every day carries within it the potential to bring the experience of heaven if we have the courage to expect it. And that's what we're called to do in Advent, is to have the courage to expect the second coming, even though all the signs point to the fact that it is impossible. We have the courage to trust that all things will be restored, that God's light will come and stay. That's Advent. That's hope. Right now, hope is both our mission and our method. It's the choice to be still and trust that God is God. It is summoning the courage to expect God. Right now, we're all expecting God. Maybe we can never see the light unless first we look square into the darkness of the abyss. It's sort of like the impossibility of reconciling until first we face the sin and the suffering that we may not even have known or intended. First, we have to face into the darkness. Before the baby Jesus, we have the brutal Roman Empire. We have the unmarried pregnant woman. We have a forced repatriation. We have Elizabeth's husband, a priest, suddenly struck speechless. John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness. John and Mary and the patriarch and the prophets, they all are facing the darkness. They're all certain of nothing but their finitude and also watching for what they can only hope. The prophet Isaiah accuses God of hiding on purpose. Isaiah laments the people's failed attempts to get a hold of God. And still, Isaiah trusts that God is working for those who wait for God's elusive presence. The potter who made all of us out of mere clay. Despite our faults and our failings, the inexplicable drive of creation, the sacred spirit manifest in all that is, sustains us and allows us to begin again at any time, not just in Advent, infused with the strength from which none of us can be separated. So welcome to the darkening time. Thank you. Thank you for keeping watch with us at St. Luke's today. If your hope flickers, we'll be here. And if our hope flickers, we will help each other to hold on for as long as it takes, because that is unknowable how long it will take. What we trust is that the light is coming out of the darkness, and that the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen. On page 10 in your service leaflet, you'll find the Apostles' Creed. If you would, please say it with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear our cry, O God. Let us pray. Help us, O God, our Savior. Look upon your congregation. Declare your glory among the nations. Do not let the oppressed be shamed and turned away. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you. Satisfy us by your loving kindness in the morning. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now please say with me the ancient words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Live without fear, for your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may the blessing of God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always.
Thank you.
God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever.